time? One more time?
Okay, 3, 2, 1. How does it feel? Does it feel awkward to be here doing this?
Super awkward.
So originally we weren't going to do this together. She was faking all kinds of illness tonight. No, I'm sorry. It was rude. Even though dinner was good.
It was delicious.
We have the kids upstairs like sucked into a movie for a little while. So we have a few minutes. Want to say hi? From Jeremy and Kara at our house, and appreciate you guys taking a little bit of time to spend with us here on video this week. I had grand plans for live and all those things, and that was Monday morning, and now it's Sunday or Saturday evening. So here we are, but we have some, you know, kind of some fun stuff that we might include in here that might be a little bit of a surprise, and I think is pretty cool. So we look forward to that, seeing some of that. And I want to hear some of the things that you maybe wanted to update people on as far as kind of what's going on and what we have available.
Sure. So I wanted to share with you, I've tried to stay on top of our community connections in case any of you need some help or know someone who needs some help. So here's kind of the latest as of Saturday night at 8:45. Abracadabras in Twin Falls, they are on Blue Lakes in the old Pizza Hut, if you know where that's at. They have the ability to order things that grocery stores may be out of. So if you need some canned goods, breads, flour, sugar, pasta, anything along those lines, you can reach out to Abracadabra. They will take it to you in your car. Deli meats and cheeses, things like that. They're able to order in bulk, and so they're offering to do that to help support the community. Seniors, if you are, let me find the number, 65 or older, Bridgeview in Twin Falls is offering a hot meal and a small food box if you know of anyone in need, if you need that. And if you would like to know more about that, you can call Bridgeview at 208-736-3933. You can ask for Shauna or Nancy. They're wanting to get the word out about that. So that's great. Let's see what else we have. I think that's it. United Way has already done some food distribution on Friday. They, as far as I know, are going to continue some of that. They do have some access to some community grants and things like that. And so they will probably be doing a little bit more of that. And so you can stay tuned on information for that. If you haven't already, you can look me up on Facebook and we can be Facebook friends. A lot of times I try to get this on VCC's Facebook page as well, but in case I don't keep up with that, feel free to reach out to me. You can also text me if you have a question, 602-320-3679, and I will try to get you in contact to a group that would be able to provide you with whatever you need. So that is an update from the community perspective. So it's really great to see people working hard to provide creative ways to help our community. I'm really happy about that.
How are you holding up this week?
Good days and bad days.
Like having the kids home all week for an extra week?
That's just an extra joy. Yes. Sometimes I get some things done, and sometimes I can't remember what I'm doing once I'm done with, taking care of kids' things. But the kids have been really gracious, really good, actually. So it will be my challenge.
I don't know about we. I took the opportunity to, I guess I didn't really talk to you about it. I just sort of explained to them what was going on. And
we kind of explained it day by day, as we knew it. And everyone's been really good sports about it. I mean, it is kind of upheaval of their life. This is normally spring break for this area, but they had last week off as well. So,
and I think it gives them a chance to understand why something's different or changed.
Sure.
You know, rather than just wondering why they're at home for an extra week or maybe two or possibly longer. And they understand it, kind of gives them a chance to feel a little bit of that, and then you can help them get through that. And I think it makes you aware a little more of where you might be feeling stress with this too. And I bring that up only because I was reading an article tonight on how they're seeing, this is a horrible thing to bring up, but they're seeing child abuse cases escalate.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And the it makes suspicion sense, is, yeah, that you've got a lot of parents at home that have not had to deal with their kids, have that stress of feeding them three meals a day, the stress of, do I have a job, of income, of, a disease, of the relational stress that comes even with, another loved one or your spouse or a significant other. And then you enter a 2.5 or 3-year-old into the picture, and it's a new stress for a lot of people.
I think, these kinds of world events bring out the best in humanity and the worst in humanity, which we've seen a little bit of both, from our world. But yeah, that does make sense. And it really goes, speaks volumes to the teachers who are really second parents to a lot of kids, providing that love and support. So
if that's you, if you happen to be that mom or dad finding yourself at home, You know, the suggestion from a particular group of doctors in that case was, virus be danged, reach out for help.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're feeling a little stressed or overwhelmed.
And you would not be the only one.
I think
many parents are trying to navigate this and figure out how to make sense of it.
Even adults sometimes have a hard time getting along through all of this. I just try to make her favorite foods, and that seems to help.
Never. It does. It does, actually. Thank you. One less thing I have to do.
And we have not broken into the alcohol yet, so we're doing good.
No, but we are low on chocolate. I just realized that. That is not good. I got the basics, and I did not get... So I don't know how.
This is a call. If you all don't hear from me or any family members in 24 to 48 hours... maybe call the authorities and bring chocolate for your own safety. So just that might be a good thing to do. So
but it affects more than just parents. There's people who live by themselves who aren't able to see neighbors or loved ones. That can sometimes be even more isolating. So there's a lot of people affected by this. And like I said, it's a chance to step up and help out however you can. Do the best thing that you can do for you and check on loved ones during a time like this.
So far, everyone seems to be doing well. I'd texted the elders and some of the prayer groups through the week to just say, hey, just checking in. How are you doing? How are your loved ones doing? How are your neighbors and friends doing? Just to kind of get a health check back. And it seems like people are holding up okay through this.
Pretty good.
Right now. So we'll see how things go as we kind of unfold into next week and what happens with all of that. So the report from the front line seems to be that people are holding in okay. But it's interesting to watch what's been happening. I guess I never had a suspicion that we would have a shortage of toilet paper.
I don't think anyone saw that one coming.
Yeah. I'm not sure at what point people thought they were going to have more bowel movements during this. But as I have been recommending to people, if you look at some of the kind of safety guidelines that are out, visiting a grocery store, go in, keep your distance, wash your hands, be smart about what you're touching. I carry an antibacterial in with me just to kind of lube up before I go in and, you know, really rinse up my hands. Sorry, you know, come on, this is on video. And then on the way out as well, that there's sustained time in groups is what the issue is. So you can make those trips as you need to get what you need. And you're usually okay with that. So
if there are some of you that are not able to get out and you do need some things, we can always do arrange a drop-off.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's something that you can consider too. If you did hoard and you're feeling a little guilty about it, that is not me. I'm just saying in general.
Okay.
What
about all those cookies?
Those don't count.
Oh, those don't count. Okay.
You can relieve your guilt by doing a donation to VAV, Voices Against Violence. They are right now only taking food, milk, water, unopened cleaning supplies, paper towels, paper, toilet paper, personal care items, and household items. So if you were feeling a little greedy and you need to, you know, resolve your soul, that is one way you can do that.
You know, I had a thought earlier, and this is probably more on that, you know, religious topic.
Of what?
Well, I was trying to think about what to make of this. You know, where do you relate events like this, worldwide global events, and what parts of scripture kind of apply to that?
And how'd that go for you?
Well, that's why we're doing this Saturday night. I will say that there are a few things that I've been... And maybe it's just because of the saturation of the news cycle that
it's been particularly ridiculous, and that's from someone who has worked in news. So,
but even some of the Christian folks that I follow, pastors and other leaders and teachers, don't seem to be pitching the end of the world quite like...
You would expect them to? Like some of the fringe people?
Well, I mean, we had a solar eclipse, or a lunar eclipse. Mm-hmm. And I mean, things were supposed to come to a halt. Remember
Y2K?
Oh, I do remember Y2K. Do you? I think you were, what, 7 or 8 years old then?
I was so young. Barely remember it.
But even when you go back to the Revelation sign mm-hmm. a few Septembers ago, I mean, it was, these are signs and wonders into the world. I'm not seeing any of that.
I thought I saw a headline about something about locusts and...
Well, the locusts, yes. But that goes right back to that whole Egyptian plague thing. Mm-hmm. And that has been happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I'd want to hang my theological hat on swarms of insects. But that's kind of just me.
So
as I was thinking about it...
So unfortunately, this isn't the end of the world. Is that what you're telling us?
Well... As much as I would like that to be the case, not necessarily.
Because any time now would be
cool. Right. I mean, okay, actually, if they could let us know. I mean, I would like the end of the world to come in such a way that anyone, that people have time to spend their last check on whatever they want before it happens, just to sort of enjoy it, and then you go. But that's just the way it's my thing.
This will be a sidebar, but what would you spend yours on?
Oh, goodness sakes. I have no idea. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's a great question. I'd have to think about that.
Pizza party at Kara's house.
Well, given our children and our family, that could empty the bank. Yes.
I know. It's true. It'd be the whole.
But I was, you know, here was one of the things I thought about. When you spend time in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, you'll find that as the nation of Israel begins to progress through time and they get their kings and they build their kingdoms and they build their walls and they have their cities, that they reach these moments. And if where they're going to come under siege, they're going to be overcome by an enemy. And if you just remove, you know, for sake of argument, just remove the divine aspect of judgment from that, because I don't think that's what any of this is. There's a lot of questions that you could put in here. Why do these things happen and that? But I think I've been more fascinated with the response, because in those times, when you read through the Old Testament, the kings and the people were trusting in their walls, they were trusting in their cities, they were trusting in their crops, and then they were trusting in this, well, we're God's people, so nothing can happen to us. And what happens is that they end up in exile. Their walls have been crushed, their cities have been burned, their people have been hauled off, and it turned out that they kind of trusted in the wrong thing. They trusted in what they had built. And I look around at a lot of these questions and news conferences and some of the people, and you sort of get this frustration that maybe the walls are a little thinner in the U.S. than what people might expect, or maybe we just wish the walls were thicker, like things were better immediately. And that we trust in these systems and infrastructures. And
there's something to be said about self-reliance, for sure. But I think in a time like this, it's easy to get sucked into the news cycles and forget who the king of the world really is. And so I know I have reminded myself of that. And it is a time to develop that faith because, you know, frankly, these news cycles can be really scary.
Yeah, for sure. But that was kind of my thought. I just thought it might be a time to step back and reflect on, you know, one, there's a lot of things we can be doing. Some of you have some extra time on your hands. So I know my honey-do list has not gotten any shorter. But more than that, there's some things you can learn. You know, teach yourself a few things. If you're in the industry, most certifications can be done in a week. So you can, if you're at home and you have time, you can do some of those things and try to improve yourself.
If you're off work, is what you're
saying. If you're off work. But more than that, you can look for opportunities to be what God intended humans to be, and that is to be His image.
The light of the world.
And you never see God trusting in walls. You never see God trusting in what He has built in earth. Interestingly enough, He's trusting in us to be His image. And that is an image of generosity and kindness and mercy and compassion and patience to others around us. And it's one that you know, really does consider the needs of others, not just for yourself, because you've got to be taking care of yourself too. You need to be doing that. But understanding that our role is so much more, it's really not about building kingdoms. Our role is really about building relationships and being there when we can be there, and then accepting help for some of us who have a hard time accepting help when you need it, asking for it. You know, if you're home and you're alone and you've been lonely and you've thought, gosh, I wish so-and-so would call me, pick up the phone and call them. That could be sort of a reverse God leading moment where you might have that person on your mind for a different reason. And take advantage of those times to do that, and maybe reflect back on have we trusted too much in what we've built as a society and a people? Because it becomes pretty easy to just forget God, and when we do that, we forget who we are. We forget why we're here.
You ask, where is God in all of this? I mean, when you see a day where Italy has 650 deaths in a day, you know, that can rattle a lot of people. And certainly this isn't anything comparative to some of the Old Testament stories. But in our lifetime, it very much can be that.
Yeah. Our oldest daughter.
We may not see anything like this again. Hopefully we won't.
Oldest daughter was saying, you know, she said, I never thought I'd live through a pandemic. Like, I'm one of those people that'll be able to say, well, back in my day. And I'm thinking,
the story of like our parents and grandparents, you know, trudging up the hill in snow with no shoes. And, you know, that'll be their version of that.
Yeah.
Of course, they have electronics. They're all going to live. But, you know, it's affected them for sure. They miss their friends and their teachers and
there's
activities
and different pressures they have to go through. I think that was part of what I was realizing today is I haven't felt the stress or the pressure of this. I think I've just been more curious, and there's no answer to this question right now. I've just been curious about what life is going to look like after this and for how long.
Sure.
You know, how much of a disruption is this going to be in our world and with people? And so I think that's more of a curiosity to me.
It is interesting to think about. I think I've seen a lot of people saying how this has brought them together.
Yeah.
We have had five meals, you know, five dinners in a row where we're all home, which is kind of unprecedented in our little world. I know I've tried to reach out to some people a little bit more often than I normally do. And so I think kind of the thought is this has made the world kind of at a standstill, but it's reminded us of what we're grateful for, of what we value. And I would like to see that kindness extended upon this pandemic season.
That would
be great.
Well, and there, and I realize that not everyone probably looks at that the same way, that there may be some who are looking forward and with a lot of fear and anxiety about what is it going to look like? What does that look like for me and my family, for my world? There are some who worry, you know, desperately about what their government's going to look like and how these things are going to unfold legally. And, well, I mean, it looks like we're swiping the credit card as a nation for another couple of trillion or two. So that's going to be something to have to figure out. And I think those are all legitimate things to be concerned about. And, but, when you look down through scripture, there's a word associated with that, and it's fear. That the writers are constantly reminding us that we don't have to walk or live in fear. For those who are Christ followers, it's under the umbrella understanding that we're just visitors here anyway. We're here on a mission, and ultimately we have another, you know, another place and another role in a time in the future. And that while we're visiting here, it's our responsibility to bring this kingdom, to live out the kingdom values on earth today. And fear is a natural component of being here, but for people who are in Christ, and hopefully that's everyone who would be watching or listening, there's nothing unusual about having fear, and there's nothing sinful about being afraid, like, you know, just being caught off guard. I don't remember any of the writers of the New Testament ever indicating that, you know, Peter was a sinner because he was afraid to acknowledge that he was a Christ follower when Jesus was going to the cross. But yet he experienced those fears of his world was significantly and radically changing the 3.5 years of the life he knew, the life he had left behind. Mm-hmm. Everything, the hopes and the dreams of what their future looked like had just been utterly crushed. And at the same time, they were later in their life, right, about how they found unfailing peace in Christ and through their faith. And I would just recommend that be what you do, that you really look at, maybe examine yourself a bit and say, have I been relying too much on what I have and these systems built around me, and that everything goes the way it's supposed to, and I just, you get all out of sorts when it's not, and maybe recenter your faith a little bit on where it should be, which is in Christ, and then walk with that kindness and generosity as an imager of God towards others. So it took me all week to sort of arrive at that moment, but I think it allowed me to understand that there was actually some peace here as well. I think I'd found a psalm that I thought might apply, and it's a Psalm 34, verse 4, just a couple of verses. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I love the image of a face that carries shame, that weight of that shame and that worry. That word can mean worry or pressure or kind of crushing the desire to hide. Mm-hmm. And that face is turned into a face of radiance. I think of that face of Moses when he came off the mountain and his face was shining and he had to hide it. That face that at one time had to be, you know, at times was ashamed, is now just radiant. Mm-hmm. With that. That through this man's prayers, he was delivered from his fears. That removed his shame and it made him radiant.
I think of turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? Because, yeah. You know, it's okay to turn the phone off, your social media off. It's okay to turn the TV off and kind of center yourself, because that can be important, but yet jarring. Yeah. And with the amount of time that we kind of consume that, that can be really kind of harmful sometimes for people who struggle with anxiety or just kind of a good outlook on the world, you know? And so I think of many songs, like, no one you're talking, but turn your eyes.
You think of songs, Jesus. I think of verses. It's, yes, a pretty cool mix. How easy is it to put the phone down?
This week, it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge. I have used it to be helpful to others, so it's not just, you know, for me, but
that's true.
I used to have this kind of a thought that, I mentally called, I just called it this, maybe share how shallow I can be sometimes, but the People Magazine Challenge, right? So am I reading and studying and praying as long as I'm spending with the People Magazine weekly. You could do the same kind of social media challenge, right? Like, am I spending, you know, the same amount of time in a worshipful practice as I am glued, you know, to my phone? Yeah, I'm going to cut everyone a break this week because, you know, no one's been through a pandemic yet. So, but I think that will be a key for a lot of people to keep in mind. How do you fill your cup up? You know, you can't really help others until you're able to do that for yourself. So I know I will be working on that next week and weeks to come.
We all will, won't we? We all will. So, well, with that, we hopefully you didn't mind just some casual thoughts here. We didn't want to have anything super structured, just wanted to maybe let you into our lives a little bit here and let you know that we're thinking about you. We pray for you. We're checking on you. If we've missed you, it is not on purpose. There is nothing meant by that. You need to let us know, please. If you have any needs or anything at all, we will do what we can to get you the support that you need. As best as we can with that.
And that reminded me of one other thing I forgot to mention. This might be handy in the weeks and months to come. Let me find it just a second. Idaho Power is an effort to help those who might need more time with payments and things like that.
Yes, yeah.
Idaho Power is temporarily suspending disconnections from homes and small businesses facing hardship during this pandemic. So if you or a friend or family member are struggling during this time, you can call their customer service. That line is 208-388-2323 or 1-800-488-6151. So I just wanted to mention that. We know there are many of you that when you are told to stock up, you have to decide, am I going to get my prescriptions? Am I going to get food? Am I going to pay my rent? Am I going to have prescriptions? So those are all real challenges. And so that is one way that you might want to think about if you need help in that area. Certainly, we are able to help in other ways, but that might be something you want to think about now.
Yeah,
because sure. We don't know how this will play out. So,
and
it's great to see businesses really kicking in and thinking of others. It's really
well, and we've been fortunate. It hasn't really spread nice. A lot to our area as of this point in time. There are other places on lockdown quite severely. And I expect, you know, we're going to see numbers climb. That's expected.
Sure.
I think they've done everything they can to prepare us for that information. We may see more restrictions around our neighborhoods and communities. It's understandable. You know, we just want to make sure that we have the medical facilities available for people who have that need. And if we can do that over a period of time, then hopefully we won't lose as many of our neighbors and loved ones as well. So with that, is there anything else you want to share?
I was looking something up and I can't put my fingers on it, but hold on, let me see. It was, if I can't find it, I'll just tell you where to find it. But I saw a really great story earlier today that I shared. Here we go. Okay. So I am sure you have been thinking about who to pray for during a time like this. And I found this great story, and it's on the VCC Facebook page about 20 prayers you can pray and for whom. And so I'm just going to just quickly go through this for those of you who really carve out that time to pray for people. So obviously, pray for the people who are sick and infected. Pray for vulnerable populations, for the strong, for the young and the strong, for our local, state, federal governments, for our scientific community, for the media to prepare up-to-date information, for consumers of the media looking to be well-informed, for those with mental health challenges, for the homeless, for international travelers stuck in foreign countries, for Christian missionaries throughout the world, for workers in a variety of industries facing layoffs and financial hardship, for families with young children at home for the foreseeable future, for parents who cannot stay home but must find help and care for their children, for those in need of regular therapies and treatments that now must be postponed, for business leaders making difficult decisions that affect their employees, for pastors and church leaders facing challenges of social distancing, for college and university students whose courses of study are completely changing right now, and for Christians in every neighborhood, community, and city. And then, of course, very importantly, are the frontline healthcare workers. For sure. Keep them safe, keep their family safe, help them be knowledgeable about the diagnosis and treatment of the disease, as well as the changing protocols. Help them stay clear-minded during this time of panic. Deliver them from their own anxiety of their loved ones, aging parents, children, roommates, spouses. Give them compassion for every patient and their care. Provide for them financially, especially if they fall ill and are unable to work. And help Christians and healthcare to exhibit extraordinary peace during a time like this. Give them opportunities to talk to people about what they know of salvation. So those were really, I thought that was a really great list. A lot of times my heart knows to pray for people, but I don't have the language for it. And so that was a great story, and it kind of made me think, okay, these are some people I can...
Gave you some things to think, yeah. Sort of trigger those thoughts.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I've been praying for the last, few weeks, but to try to encompass all of the changing needs of everyone right now, because so many people are affected and in different ways. So if you're one that has means to help, by all means, please do that.
Yes.
And if you need help, by all means, raise your hand so that we can get to you.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Well, with that, we should probably let these people get back to their lives.
There's hikes to be had.
There's hikes and walks.
TV to be watched. Puzzles to do.
I had a friend ask me, we don't have Netflix. Is it worth it? And this is about 2 or 3 days before this really got rolling, this whole thing. And I talked to him later and I'm like, yeah, I'm guessing it's probably worth it right about now. So keep your minds occupied and it's a good time to pick up scripture and just read a little bit. You can always send in some questions if you have those. We'd be happy to do what we can to respond to those. We'll keep you posted on when we'll be planning to get back together again. We'll
probably get more guidance in the next week.
Yeah, the guidance will come out of next week as well. One of the things I've tried to encourage people to do is in their prayers to include two things. Pray for wisdom, but only pray for wisdom if you want it. Can be troublesome to get wisdom when you don't want it. And pray for courage. And if any of you have heard my prayers, you'll almost always hear those two things. Give us the wisdom to know what to do, and then the courage to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to know what to do.
It's hard to act on that.
Really hard to act on that. And so pray that for yourself, for others as well through this time. And I'm sure in some short order and soon we'll be able to see each other in person again. Once these things kind of pass and we're to that point, we love you. We miss you. It's going to be very weird to post this tonight and not be going anywhere tomorrow. Might just have to go in.
I think we can sleep in. That sounds like a great idea.
The girls want to go do something outside. So we're working on that. We'll see.
We can sleep in and then go. That's right.
Yeah, well, sleeping in for some of us is like 7:30. I know, I got to work on my sleeping in. Well, let us pray for you, and then we'll let you get back to your day. Heavenly Father, we want to just ask, just as we said, for your wisdom through this time and for your courage. Father, there are those on the other end that may be feeling pressures but not sure what to do about it. not sure how to share it. Maybe they feel bad for feeling bad. Father, we would just ask that you would really lean into them to reach out for the help that they need. Father, for those who are able to provide help, give them the wisdom and the courage to know where to do that, and then make the time to go make those things happen. And for those that are just really feeling the crushing weights of anxieties and the burdens and just the stress of having to be at home and be with the kids and just figure out, you know, how to get through these things and not knowing when it's really going to come to an end. Father, we pray for your peace and ask also that they would have the courage to reach out when they need help, when they feel like they're at a breaking point. There's no shame in asking for help at all. And so we would just encourage them to do that. And for those who are Christ followers, we would just ask that you would just continue to pour your Spirit into them, fill their cups up with that peace and that love, patience and kindness, generosity towards others, and just continue to teach us how to be good humans, good images of yours as we walk in the world. Father, we love you. We thank you. We look forward to being together again soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, with that,
see you next week.
See you next week, hopefully. Maybe in person, but no, it won't be the 5th. I think it's the 5th. It's the first date we had, but don't hold us to that. We'll update you that next week with that. And again, if you need anything at all, let us know. And thanks for giving us some time in your life. So we'll see you later.
Happy Sunday.
Imagine your friend invites you to a party. You arrive and there's lots of people, decorations, food and drink. There's enough for everyone.
When you're hosted by someone that generous, you don't have to worry about your needs. You can just enjoy yourself and focus on the people around you.
Yeah, that's what a good host wants for her guests.
And this is the picture of the world that we find in the Bible. Creation is an expression of God's generous love. He's the host, and humans are his guests in a world of opportunity and abundance.
And we're called to keep the party going, to spread his goodness. This is a beautiful picture. But it's not the way people experience the world. Rather, we find a world of scarcity and struggle, not abundance.
And Jesus grew up in that kind of world. Under military occupation, people losing their land or families to debt and poverty. And yet, he would say things like this. Look at the birds. They don't store up food for themselves, yet they have enough. Or consider the wildflowers. They're beautiful and abundant, and they don't stress about their existence. And you all should live that way, too.
But surely Jesus knew that things don't always work out. I mean, sometimes there really isn't enough.
And Jesus did experience poverty firsthand, but he viewed the world through the story of the Hebrew Scriptures, which claimed that our scarcity problem isn't caused by a lack of resources. Rather, the problem is our mindset that God can't be trusted.
Maybe God's holding out on me. Maybe there isn't enough, and maybe I need to take matters into my own hands.
And once we're deceived into that mindset of scarcity, we can justify the impulse to take care of me and mine before anyone else. And that leads to envy, anger, violence, and a world where it seems like there's not enough.
The party's over, it's turned into a battleground.
But God wants humans to experience his generosity, and so he chooses one people, the family of Abraham, and he promises to give them the abundance that he wants for everybody else. God will provide what they need. All they have to do is trust his generosity.
And through them, the whole world will see how generous the host really is.
But that's not what happens. Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, enter a land of abundance, and they promptly forget the host who gave it to them. They act like it's all theirs, and like there's not enough. And it leads to war and Israel's self-destruction.
If I were the host of this party, I think I'd just give up.
But God doesn't give up. What he does is surprising. He gives another gift.
Another gift?
Yeah, but this gift is different. What God gives is himself.
All right, and Jesus, the host himself, comes to join in on the spoil party.
And notice, Jesus lives with the conviction that there is enough, and that our generous host can be trusted. His mindset of abundance allowed him to live sacrificially and generously, even towards his enemies.
And Jesus called his followers to trust in God's abundance like him.
And that's why he said things like, sell your possessions and give to the poor, or don't worry about your life. He's inviting us to live by a different story, one that is built on trust in God's goodness and love.
But living generously doesn't mean life is gonna go well. I mean, look at Jesus. He was betrayed by his friends, and he suffered.
And this was no surprise to Jesus. He knew that people would take advantage of his generosity. In fact, that was his plan.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Jesus knows that we're all hopelessly deceived by this lie that there's not enough.
Yeah, that lie needs to be defeated.
And so that's what Jesus was doing when he gave us the gift of his life. Jesus' death was the ultimate expression of God's generous love.
Yeah, God's love can turn death into life and scarcity back into abundance.
Or as the Apostle Paul put it, you know the gift of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, that even though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich.
And Jesus called his followers to live like the real party has begun.
Yes, he called it the kingdom of God. And our invitation to this party is yet another gift, the personal presence of God's own Spirit that can teach us how to trust the generosity of the host, just like Jesus did.
Yeah, and when you believe there's enough, you start seeing opportunities for generosity everywhere, with our time and money, our attention.
Yes, one of the most important ways that we can experience the abundance of God's new creation is sharing with others because of our trust that God is the generous host.